Have you been feeling a little disconnected from God? Well, today on Bold Steps, Mark Job explains the spiritual importance of turning our hearts back towards our Heavenly Father.
A hard heart avoids contact with the Father. A soft heart pursues relationship with the Father. And let me be real honest with you today. You are either sliding away from the Father or you are pursuing the Father. There is no neutral ground.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Job. Mark is president of Moody Bible Institute and senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. Well, at one point or another, we've all felt the panic of losing something important to us. Mark, I can't tell you how many times I've left a store, gotten all the way home in the car sometimes, and realized I left my phone behind. Isn't that a horrible feeling?
It is. Hey, we can relate.
It just happened yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Well, this is the ultimate lost and found story, Wayne. You know, there are people that are going to be listening today that have a prodigal that they're praying for. Or maybe you're listening today and you are the prodigal and you just happen to tune into the station. And if you are a prodigal right now and you know you're a prodigal, I'm so glad you're listening. Please don't turn the station because God wants to speak to you today.
Join us in Luke chapter 15. Let's begin with this message, Returning Back to the Father's Heart.
My daughter was three years old, a precocious little girl, beautiful, big, dark eyes, straight, dark hair, porcelain-type skin. She would look at me and say, Daddy, and I just could not resist her. My wife would say, she's got you wrapped around her pinky. You have to. One day we were in the store. My son was just a baby. She was walking around. We decided to conquer and divide through our grocery shopping. I went one way, she went another way. We came back together, and I told my wife, I said, where's Marissa? She said, I thought you had Marissa. I said, I thought you had Marissa. The definition of panic. At a Target, we've lost our daughter. And so we started, you know, you don't want to panic real fast at the beginning. You're like, Marissa, where are you, honey? Honey, where are you? You're around here somewhere. And it starts to escalate. Marissa, where are you? Marissa, where are you? My wife's saying, call the manager. There had just been a report in the newspaper or online recently that some people had taken little kids into the bathroom, put a wig on them, and kidnapped them. So immediately, Dee's saying, check the bathroom. They're probably kidnapping her. We're talking to people, where is Marissa? Panic sets in. Now the store's looking around. Where's Marissa? Hey, little girl, where are you? And then we found her. She had found a place right behind the coats, back behind the coats, where she was just playing with her doll, right there, nice and calm while we were panicking. I picked her up and grabbed her. She said, Daddy, why are you holding me so tight? I said, honey. The heart of a father. Today I want to talk to you about the heart of a father. Jesus was speaking to some Pharisees in Luke chapter 15. And the Pharisees, instead of addressing Jesus directly, they murmured among themselves. Their main complaint with Jesus was, why does Jesus allow people around him that aren't religious, righteous? Why does he allow sinners around him, people of ill repute? Why does he allow people to gather around him that, well, they have brokenness and backgrounds that are unsavory? And so the religious Pharisees, who were known to be self-righteous, pompous, knowers of the Bible, but yet far from the heart of God, they said, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. And so Jesus, in his typical fashion, instead of addressing them directly, he actually tells three stories. We call them parables. I don't have time to get into all three of these stories, but he tells a story of a lost coin, a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. All three of these parables are really meant to get at the same thing. They point to the heart of a father when something precious is lost. And I want to jump into the parable of the lost son. We call it the parable of the prodigal son. And I want you to think through this, and because I believe that oftentimes our journey to being a prodigal can even start when we're in the house of God, when we're in a place like Moody Bible Institute. Our setting does not determine whether our heart is moving towards prodigal phases or not. I've been a pastor and felt the heart of a prodigal tugging at me. And so your setting, your title, your environment does not determine your spiritual health. It's the heart towards the Father. And so I want to just describe to you the five phases of a spiritual wake-up call. Phase number one, I call it the running phase. In verse 11, it says, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger son said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after, the young son got together all that he had, and he set off for a distant country. Two sons, one father. The younger of the sons does something inconceivable, something insulting, something that was unheard of in those days. He, in essence, wanted the benefits of the death of his father before his father died. In essence, he said, hey, I want you to divide up your estate as though you were dead, and I want to be able to enjoy it now. Now, in the Jewish culture, the oldest son would get 2/3 of the estate. The youngest son would get 1/3 of the estate. It was the practice of the day, but it was absolutely grievous and insulting to demand the estate of your father before his death. And you see a couple of things in the running phase. You see the pulling away. We don't want God's interference in managing our business. It says the younger son said to his father, give me the share of my estate. In other words, I want what is mine now to use however I want it now. In other words, the younger son was basically saying, I know you gave it to me, but I don't want you to manage how I use it. I want to use it however I want to use it. I want my independence from the Father's house. I want my independence from the management of the Father. The Father liquidates the assets, gives 1/3 to the son. The second thing I see here, the son, it says, sets off for a distant country. So we create distance between us and God. I just want you to know something. A hard heart avoids contact with the Father. A soft heart pursues relationship with the Father. And let me be real honest with you today. You are either sliding away from the Father or you are pursuing the Father. There is no neutral ground. You say, well, I'm just sort of neutral. No, you're not. You are either sliding away from the Father or you are pursuing the Father. Most prodigals don't believe that they're sliding away. They excuse it, they minimize it, they spiritualize it, they rationalize it, but they're sliding nonetheless. You're pursuing him or you're sliding away from the Father. And in this case, I'm sure that there was a rationalizing that happened in the heart of the son. No, I appreciate it. I just need my space. I need my growing up space. I want to do what I need to do. And he sets off for a distant country. But in essence, what he's doing, he's creating space between him and the Father because the interference of the Father feels like it's somehow curtailing the life that he wants to live, the decisions that he wants to make. Somehow being too close to the Father feels like an imposition on really what he wants to do with his own life. The second phase we see is the consequences phase. Verse 14 says, after he had spent everything, how many of you know money goes quick? After he had spent everything, this was a substantial chunk of change. He says, there was a severe famine. How many of you know the party comes to an end too? There's always an end to the party. Now, when you're in the party, even if you're running from God, you know, sometimes you hear messages and it sounds like when you're away from God, you're going to be miserable, unhappy. But let me tell you, while the party lasts, it's fun. There are some people that pursue a life away from God, and while they're pursuing it, they're enjoying it to the hilt. It's fun. It's, wow, finally, before the consequence set in. I remember talking to a married man that had left his wife after 25 years and hooked up with a woman that's 20 years younger than him. And I sat down and I said, hey, you know, let's talk about this. We really need to. And he said, I'm finally free. I am living the life I've always wanted to live. It's brought out the creativity in me. I've come alive to who I really am. I love this phase. I am not going back to that phase. And he was enjoying it. I said, well, let me just clue you in on things. You've been with this young girly for 3 months. She doesn't know you like your wife knows you. A year from now, she'll know you a lot better. And I'm going to tell you, this party is going to come to an end. About a year and a half later, I get a call. Hey, Pastor, how you doing? Not bad. I just wondered if you could sit down with my wife and try to reconcile a little. The party comes to an end. He had spent all that he had, enjoyed it, and there was a severe famine in the land. By the way, I love the fact that there was a severe famine in the land. I don't know why there was a famine in the land, but I love the heart of God, because sometimes God orchestrates the circumstances around our life to exaggerate our needs so that we will accelerate our return to God. That's out of his mercy, not out of his judgment.
You're listening to the Bible teaching of Mark Jobe on Bold Steps, and as we reach the midpoint of today's program, a quick reminder that you can always find these messages and catch up on anything you miss by going to our website, boldstepsradio.org. Or if you'd enjoy listening to these Bible lessons while you're out taking a walk or heading to work, be sure to subscribe to our Bold Steps podcast and get these messages downloaded automatically to your phone or smart device. Just head over to your favorite podcast app and search for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe. While you're there, be sure to subscribe and leave us a comment. And one of the exciting new additions we've made to our Bold Steps outreach is a 60-second program called the Bold Steps Minute, where we share quick and meaningful portions from Pastor Mark's insightful teaching. This unique one-minute program is a great way to weave in some additional biblical teaching to your busy day. In fact, one of our listeners named Mindy recently wrote in about the Bold Steps Minute, letting us know how helpful this new program is. She says, God bless you, Pastor Mark. God uses you all the time to talk to me about the ways I'm to see things and live with God. Well, thank you for listening, Mindy. And if you have a comment or a question you'd like to share with Mark, be sure to reach out by going to our website and clicking the tab that says Ask a Question. Again, that's boldstepsradio.org. All right, now continuing with today's message, returning back to the Father's heart, here again is Pastor Mark Jobe.
Because he's vacated, distanced himself from the Father. Oh, I see that over and over and over and over again, how people attach themselves to some pseudo intermediate relationship to meet the need of their life and become dependent on that relationship, really in the absence of the Father. And I've seen it over and over, whether it's a boyfriend, whether it's a girlfriend, whether it's whatever it may be, I've seen these dependent relationships that are really substitutes for the Father that we become more and more dependent upon. And listen what happens. So he attaches himself, who sent him to the fields. Now, if you were a Jewish individual, you understood that one of the most repulsive jobs that you could have
And by the way, if you grew up in a pig farm, we don't view it repulsive here. God bless you. I'm sure there was great work ethics that you learned. But in the Jewish culture, it was very repulsive to work with pigs. They were unclean, something the lowest of the lowest. So this foreigner didn't understand. He attaches himself. He's in the pig field. Verse 16, it says, he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. The running phase will always give way to emptiness. You cannot ultimately be satisfied apart from God. I've never known someone with a God vacuum that's known the love of the Father, that's experienced it, that's tasted it, that walks away as a prodigal, that doesn't find a substitute to meet the God factor in their life. And oftentimes that which seems to be satisfying for the moment ultimately becomes the master of that person's life. I've seen it over and over and over again. That boyfriend that seems so intense about you and so concerned and so protective and meets that need of feeling like, wow, I feel loved and protective. He wants to know every place I am. He wants to know every moment. He wants to make sure I'm okay. He's really engaged in everything I do. Wants to know all the names of my friends. He's very concerned about where I park, where I live, what I do, my phone numbers, who I hang out with. Oh, I feel so loved. Yeah, play it forward and you find an obsessive control freak that thinks you're an appendage and runs your life, separates you from family, obsessively begins to control, abuse, manipulate. And in the beginning, it was just a substitute for the love of the Father. Phase number three, and I could go on about that, but let me move on. It's the awakening phase. My favorite phrase in this entire passage is when he came to his senses. Parents often will come to me and say, I have a son or daughter who was raised in the church, went to Sunday school, went to Awana. By the way, Awana's a great program. And they'll say to me, I don't know what happened. They've deconstructed their faith. They're reconsidering what they believe. They don't want to go to church, not reading the Bible. They're saying, Mom, I'm rethinking things. They're living with their boyfriend, their girlfriend. And they say, what do I do? And I say, I would pray a simple prayer. Lord, let them come to their senses. A moment in time comes for all of us when we go down the prodigal road where the need in our life, the dependency, because you were created to only be satisfied and ultimately be who you are and fulfilled in the presence of the Father. And the Bible says that when he came to his senses, it's a wake-up call. You wake up, you look around and say, how did I get here? How in the world did I get here? You look at things that you thought you would never do. Engage in things that you never thought you'd be engaged in. Hit a low that you thought, no, I would never do that. But the way of the prodigal ultimately leads us to places that we never thought we would go. But there comes a time when the need allows us to come to our senses and look around and say, this is not the existence, the life that I want to live. And he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. What makes him wake up? The illusion starts to come to an end. He begins to reap the consequences of his lifestyle. He starts to experience unfulfilled needs. He sinks in a new low in satisfying his needs. He begins to compare what he could have with what he actually has.
It's a wake-up. I like to compare it to, well, I hate to admit this, but have you ever driven when you're really, really tired, a long road trip, and I don't know what you do to stay awake, roll down the window, slap yourself a little bit, put on music really loud that you don't like, talk to someone on the phone. I've been at those places where I was so tired. And then you're trying to keep your eyes open like this and just struggling like some of you are in chapel and just struggling to stay awake. And then there's something, I don't know who invented it, but it's ingenious. It's these little things that they put on the side of the road, carved into the road, so that you actually feel the... How many have ever felt that? And it's the... that suddenly wakes you up like, wow, I was going off the road. They come to their senses. They wake up. It's happened to me before. And suddenly you realize, man, I was so close to the edge, I could have hit. What? This is, adrenaline pumps through your veins, and you're fully awake. By the way, I speak to parents who have prodigal sons and daughters and who want to rescue them, who want to enable them, who want to shield them from their consequences. And usually my advice is don't shield them from the consequences. You will just elongate the prodigal journey. Let them feel it, not in a mean, negative, I don't care about you way, but in a compassionate, empathetic, you need to feel the consequences of it, because if I keep rescuing you, you'll probably never come to your senses. It leads me to number four. It's the shame phase. Verse 18, I will set out and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and he went to the father. He's full of shame. Can I just remind you, there's a difference between shame and conviction, or guilt and conviction. One is of the father and one is of the enemy.
And we'll pick it up right there from the story of the prodigal son when we return tomorrow for part two of this message. You're listening to Bold Steps, the Bible teaching ministry of Mark Job, and a lesson titled Returning Back to the Father's Heart. Before we wrap up today's message, we want to encourage you to visit our website and browse through some of the faith-building resources we have available, like this month's unique edition of our Bold Step gift. It's a challenging and timely book from author Dan White Jr., about how to be a stronger representative of Christ in a time where division and discourse seem to be the norm. To talk more about the book, here again is Mark.
In today's culture, it's not hard to find someone who disagrees with you. In fact, when we look around, it sometimes seems as though we're surrounded by people who think, live, and vote in a way that we could never support. So how are we meant to love someone who we can barely understand? That's the struggle that Daniel White confronts in his book called Love Over Fear. With this timely Bold Step gift, you'll learn how to better navigate this age of polarization and cultural strife with the overpowering love of Christ. Dan does an excellent job of giving real-world examples and spiritual encouragement to remind us of the real power of the Holy Spirit. If we truly want to experience the fullness of Christ and live out His will with every part of our lives, learning to love our enemies is a pretty big part of that process. So request your copy of Love Over Fear today when you give a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Bold Steps.
All right, thank you, Mark. Well, you can sign up to give your one-time gift or sign up to give a monthly gift and become one of our Bold partners by going to our website at boldstepsradio.org. Or give us a call at 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363. You can also send a check in the mail along with your request for Love Over Fear by addressing your envelope to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Again, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And then one final announcement before we close, letting you know that Bold Steps Radio now has an official page over on YouTube. So be sure to subscribe by going to youtube.com/@Bold Steps Radio. Right now, you'll find a video series called What Does the Bible Say About?, where Mark tackles topics from self-image to fear to relationships. And we release a new video every Wednesday, so check it out, tell a friend, and keep coming back to watch more. I'm Wayne Shepherd signing off, and we'll see you tomorrow for the conclusion of this message, Returning Back to the Father's Heart. That's coming up on Thursday's edition of Bold Steps with Mark Joe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.